The previous program was brought to you by the Greek Broadcasting Network. The views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Welcome to Our Lady's Feast Day, Our Lady of Guadalupe, live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air.
And Our Lady's message is to bring everyone to Jesus. So let's start the line, form the line to Jesus. And our guest, our unbelievable, our co-host...
Al Barbarino.
And
pleasure to be here.
Hey, Al is a dear old friend of ours. He's a friend of the station. He's today's co-host. We love him. He's so
love you too, buddy.
he's unbelievable. And he's does a lot of things for the church. So Al,
thank you.
Why don't you quickly introduce our guest?
Okay.
Being the co-host. And we'll get on with the show.
Okay, very good. Is Father Tino there?
I am.
You are
oh,
here.
Oh, welcome, Father Tino. Welcome. Thank you.
Okay, my good, good buddy, Father John Tino, but better known as Giovanni Tino. Much better. At any rate, Father Tino has great, great spirit, and fortunately, praise God, I was with him couple of times this year at the conferences up in Winnipeg, Canada, and then much more recent one in Catskills, and originally from the Brooklyn Diocese, and he's been pastor at various parishes in the Brooklyn Diocese, and he's presently national director of the World Family Radio Maria. So he has a lot to tell us, I'm sure he does. Never short on words, praise God for that. And so, you know, whatever you want to let him loose, it's
okay.
Up to you, Father John.
Okay, Father Tito, before we get started, you know, this Radio Maria, it's part of what our radio show mission statement is, to evangelize through the media of the radio, to bring as many people as we can to Jesus, as the Blessed Mother wants us to do. And also, at least, our goal is to bring, you know, we're very humble people here. You know, we're very humble. We're a grassroots program. So we want to bring at least one soul back to Jesus every
week.
At least 10.
At least 10.
At least.
So tell us about your radio show. I'm so interested in it.
Well, thank you, first of all, Anthony, for having me on your program. It's certainly a blessing, on this, especially on this feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe and the patroness of the Americas.
So, amen.
Yes, amen.
The unborn. And Radio Maria started about 27 years ago in as a small parochial radio in Italy. And now, after 27 years, it's in about over 70 countries around the world.
Praise God.
So this shows how Our Lady, you know, she does things. If Amen. you know, if you do the right thing. And they're really beautiful. Beautiful, you know, radio. And so it's been in this country now, in Italian, since 1992. Then we started Radio Maria in Spanish. And for 15 years, this year we celebrate 15 years of existence, Radio Maria USA, in English.
That's great.
Wow. Yeah, one more question. Very simple, and I'm not going to do a lot of talking today. I'm usually very long-winded, but I'm going to leave it up to you and Al and my wife Joan to run things. But how does someone get to listen to Radio Maria? Is there a special station they should go to, or just how is it done?
To be able to listen, what happens is that we have 11 frequencies. In this country, you know, this is a big country, so in 15 years, we're up to about 10 frequencies, 11 frequencies, but more and more they are coming as the local communities, they want to have a Radio Maria in their area, in their diocese. And here in New York, you can listen to Radio Maria by going to live stream, radiomaria.us, and you click on the bottom the tab, how to listen, and also on your smartphone, you know, iPhones and things like that, downloading the app, Radio Maria World Family. So most of our frequencies are in the central states, in Ohio, in the south, but it's slowly, you know, spreading throughout the states. But for now, here in New York, basically will be radiomaria.us. You can also find all the information there. There's a beautiful website. You can even see our meeting, the last meeting that we had with the Pope. And then you can also listen on the smartphone, downloading for free Radio Maria World Family application. Or you can listen through the phone, you know, on the website, there's a phone number where you can dial in order to be able to listen. This is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where wow. We have a prayer, and the program that most listen are prayer times. About 30% of the programs are prayer, just live prayer, rosary, liturgy of the hours, mass, divine mercy, and then we have catechesis. So, teaching the faith, human formation, and Vatican Radio News, we also transmit twice a day in music.
Wow.
So it's worthwhile.
So you got it all there, Father.
Oh, yeah.
It's got it all. Wow, that's great.
It's a really great station, yeah.
I want to mention one thing to the listeners and Father also. This is this radio show program is a grassroots program. We don't take phone calls, but we do encourage people that want to send us messages during the show or questions during the show to text us. So we can be texted at 516-712-7005. That's 516-712-7005. You can text us with your questions, text us with your comments, text us with the things you like. Yeah, you can also question us with the things you don't like. So we're big-minded. We'll take what you don't like. And we have another number you could text at. Go ahead, Joan. Tell them the other one.
516-712-7004. That's mine, and I'm Joan.
Okay, so if you got any comments, listeners, or any questions, by all means, text us, and we'll address them on the air. Speaking of music, this being the feast day of Guadalupe,
Guadalupe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm from Brooklyn, though, you know. That's why my pronunciations are always bad. You sound just like my wife. You make me feel so at home, Al. Thank you. Al, why don't you please introduce That
oh, this particular hymn?
Yes, yes.
In honor of Our Lady. Listening to the words of this beautiful piece, Lady Guadalupe, it really personifies who Our Lady is, what she does as a protectress, as a mother of us all, and trying to guide us and direct us closer to her Son. So this is a beautiful hymn entitled Our Lady of Guadalupe.
The fountain of my life. Under your shadow and in your protection, I fear no evil, no pain, no worry. O Maria, O most merciful Mother, gentle Virgin, with the name Guadalupe. On a mountain we find roses in winter. All the world has been touched by your love. You are the star of the ocean. My boat is small, and the waves are so high. But with you to guide me, I'll reach my homeland. O Maria, O most merciful Mother, gentle Virgin, with the name Guadalupe. All the world has been touched by your love. You are the dawn of a new day, for you give birth to the Son of the Father. All of my lifetime I'll walk beside you. O Maria, O most merciful Mother, gentle Virgin, with the name Guadalupe. On a mountain we find roses in winter. All the world has been touched by your love. Virgin, with a name Guadalupe. On a mountain we find roses in winter. All the world has been touched by your love. All the world has been touched by your love.
Singing that song.
That's Al Barbarino.
Was that you, Al, baby?
No, this guy named Louie.
You're so beautiful.
Thank you.
Al, before we continue on with Father Tino, I know you're always running around all over the place.
Like a lunatic.
Yes. Can you give us an update on your travels that the listeners may be able to?
In other words, she wants to know what gigs
where
you got.
Going?
What
where
gigs?
Going?
What gigs
where
you got coming, be? Baby? What's your gigs?
What's my gig? All right. Well, actually, this weekend, Saturday, starting today through Tuesday, I'll be at a parish in Brooklyn. Actually, Father Tino knows the parish, and he knows the pastor as well, St. Brendan's. I'll be doing their parish mission there for Advent. So I'll be doing the Masses Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday evening at 7:30, present the parish mission for Advent. Tomorrow night, Sunday night, at my parish, the home parish, St. Raymond's in East Rockaway, we have our lessons in carol. And under the direction of my dear friend Laura Garbatelli, actually her husband John was a guest speaker here.
Yes, I love him. He's a great guy. I love him. From the Knights of Columbus.
Knights of Columbus.
Johnny, baby, if you're listening, I want you to know I spoke very highly of you to my wife and everything, Johnny.
Yeah, he's the Grand Knight at St. Raymond's Council. And so Lessons in Carol will be at St. Raymond's Parish tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And actually, a lot of the background vocals, in fact, one of the beautiful pieces that is going to be played later, Adesse Fidelis, O Come All You Faithful, Laura's doing the background and the high harmonies on there. Actually, beautiful, very very spirit-filled, to say the least. And in the beginning of the year, I mean, this is a little way off, but the very second weekend in January, January 9th through 12th, I'll be in Cinema Riches. You know, when the year begins, everybody's always notorious for making resolutions, lose weight, go do exercise and all this other crazy stuff, which seems to fall on its face 2 weeks after. But this parish mission is going to be starting the year with Jesus.
Oh, what a great title.
You know, trying to really make an all-out resolution and promise commitment to come closer to our Lord. So and that's something that we really need to be reminded of, you know, like in our faith.
Especially well, in this year of mercy.
A year of mercy, right. Correct, which started on Immaculate Conception, December 8th. And even in this, you know, year of mercy, this Advent, you know, preparing for Christmas, how are people really preparing for Christmas? Are we really missing the beat and keeping the light off the real focus on Christ? So, in fact, later, you know, whenever you think is a good time, just wanted to read this little message from our Blessed Mother. It's a writing where she's speaking to Saint Joseph about a dream that she had, you know, and it's really a beautiful thing. But would you like for me to say it now or later?
If you want to, you can say it now, and then we'll get back to Father Tino.
Okay. Are you still there, Padre Tino?
I'm here.
Yeah, okay, don't wait. We're good. We're getting back to you in a second. Go ahead, Al.
But this is something, and to help us stay focused on to what we're all about. And Our Lady had a dream, and she's sharing her dream with Saint Joseph. And it goes, Joseph, last night I had a dream that I really did not understand. I know that it was pertaining to the celebration of our son's birthday. The people had been preparing for it for several weeks. They decorated their house and bought new clothes. They'd gone shopping many times and bought elaborate gifts. It was so peculiar, though, because not one present was for Jesus. They wrapped them in beautiful paper and tied them with bows, and they placed them under a tree. A tree in their house. Yes, they even had a tree that they decorated with lights and sparkling ornaments. And there was a beautiful angel at the top of the tree. Everyone was laughing and so happy. They were all so excited about the gifts they were going to buy for each other. But not one gift, Joseph, had anything to do with our son Jesus. I don't think they even knew him. They never mentioned his name. Doesn't it seem strange and odd that people go through so much trouble celebrating someone's birthday and they don't even know him? The strangest feeling I had that if he had gone to the celebration, he would have been intruding. Everything was so beautiful and everyone was so happy, but it really made me want to cry. How sad. I'm losing it. I'm sorry. How sad for them not to want Jesus at his own birthday party. I'm glad it was only a dream. How terrible it would have been, Joseph, if it was real. And you know something, as you reflect on what I just read to you, you tell me that we're not living in this reality where we feel, just to be politically correct, that we have to be so mindful of not offending others, so we have to refrain from saying Merry Christmas. How sad is that? How sad it would be if it was real, Joseph. The question is, where are we really with respect to keeping Christ in Christmas? And that's for everyone to really know and to be mindful of. Sometimes I really lose it on this because the truth hurts, and this is the truth.
Absolutely. See, Joni, I'm not the only one that cries on the radio
that
show.
Boy, now you have
us Italians cry on the radio show.
No.
So, Father Tino, do you cry on the radio show, Father?
No, he's strong.
He's a strong guy.
Not yet.
Father, I'm wondering. Now, you use the radio show to convert people, I'm sure, and to evangelize and to bring people closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's probably your mission statement. That's our mission statement. You know, and what's your thought about the new, or that just started, Year of Mercy? What, you know, I think for anyone to explain the Year of Mercy, it would be someone like you. Because I think there's a little bit of confusion going on about the Year of Mercy. Does that mean everybody gets forgiven for all their sins? And does that mean that everybody starts from scratch, that they don't have to go to purgatory? What is this Year of Mercy all about? Can you give us on a priestly statement of what we have to look forward to for this Year of Mercy?
Well, you touched on something that is going to take a little bit to explain, especially if we have to talk about the indulgences, or perhaps we can make it as brief as possible.
Make it as brief as possible, and I do want to talk about the indulgences.
In terms of the Jubilee of Mercy, I think the words of the Holy Father are very indicative of what the year is about. When he wrote the Bull of Indiction, you know, the Face of Mercy. It's a beautiful document. And talking about mercy, the Holy Father says it is a wellspring of joy, serenity, and peace. Of course, when we talk about mercy here, we have God, our Father, and Jesus is the face of mercy. So Jesus shows us a face of mercy of God. And in the Bible, there are many examples of mercy, especially the prodigal son that comes back after having squandered all the wealth and lost himself. And here the Father embraces him, welcomes him. So that's the mercy that the Holy Father wants to really experience for us. Certainly, we can go into the works of charity, you know, the spiritual works of mercy and the corporal works of mercy in helping others. At the fountain of mercy, I think, is St. Jesus, through St. Faustina Kowalska. He himself, all the way back in the 1930s, because Faustina, she's the apostle of divine mercy. Mm-hmm. He and you know, perhaps when you go to church, you may have seen the image, Jesus, I trust in you, mm-hmm. With the blood and water coming out of his side. Well, has to do basically with confession. He said, the fountain of mercy is confession. And I think, you know, we are in a proper time to begin this Year of Mercy during Advent in preparation for Christmas. So it's in confession that we experience the mercy of God.
I see.
It's in confession. And again, now tying it up to the indulgences, the Holy Father has opened the Holy Door of St. Peter on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception on Tuesday. And now, tomorrow also, there's going to be all the churches around the world that are going to open the holy doors. And so it's an understanding that through that holy door, entering the holy door, we experience, you know, going into church, we experience the mercy of God. And that's why then the Jubilee grants indulgences for those who travel to Rome, but certainly not everybody can go to Rome. But the bishop has designated in each diocese a church with a holy door, and there you can receive the indulgences. But also those who perhaps for the elderly, for the sick, they can also certainly experience that mercy wherever they're at. And the conditions usually are to pray for the intentions of the Father, you know, receiving communion, confession, and praying the creed. So you mentioned about sins being forgiven. Well, it's basically you have a partial, you have a plenary indulgence, where again, all the sins are forgiven. So making it very, very simple, this may sound a little strange, but again, we have so many graces in the church. And it's, you know, we want to take advantage of it. It's because when we go to confession, especially if we are in mortal sin, the eternal punishment, meaning hell, it's basically remitted in confession. It's taken away, that punishment. However, the effects of sin still remain in our life. The temporal punishment, it's called. And so either we're going to have to make it up here, or we're going to have to make it up after death in purgatory. So the indulgences allow us, and of course the works of penance, the works of mercy, prayers, to be able to make that temporal punishment here on earth.
I see.
Otherwise, it's going to happen after death.
I see.
To make it very bluntly, very simple, many people don't hear about these things many times, even in church, but this is the teaching of the church. So, again, not everybody goes straight to heaven. You know, only few saints, you know, but we're not ready for heaven.
I see.
So this is basically the Jubilee Year of Mercy. So it's a way to receive those graces so that you can experience the mercy of God and get closer to heaven. Again, it's a time of grace.
And it's a beautiful time. Father, can I say to the listening audience that this is the time to come back to Jesus? If, in fact, there's anyone out there that's been hesitant about coming back to Jesus or thinking that Jesus won't accept them or that God won't accept them, this is the perfect opportunity to come back. Am I correct in that assertion?
It is a perfect opportunity. Perfect opportunity because what the Holy Father wants to convey, the message wants to say, and the church certainly with the Holy Father to say, you know, it's the love of God is greater than all the sins of the world put together. Many times people say, well, you know, I have so many sins and I don't think God is going to forgive me for the sins I have committed. But as long as we repent, God forgives us in confession. That's why, you know, Anthony, I mean, as a priest, to have the privilege of seeing people, especially those people who have not been going to confession for some time. And they had serious sins that after confession, they smile. They say, Father, I feel lighter now. I feel like a weight was lifted off my shoulder. So they feel relieved. And that's the love of God. That's the mercy of God.
That's beautiful, Father. That's beautiful. So I would like to say to the listening audience, in lieu of what Father had to say, is that if you're pounding and thinking that it's too late for you to come back, thinking that God won't forgive you, thinking that Jesus won't accept you, I got one statement for you. Come on back. Jesus loves you no matter what.
There's more rejoicing in heaven when the one lost soul returns than the 99
absolutely
that are there.
Father, that was beautiful. A beautiful,
fantastic,
beautiful explanation of the year of mercy. And
love is it's great. It's, even though there's so much sin in the world, there's so much evil, but just think about the patience of God.
Absolutely.
Amen.
How he waits for us.
So come on down, those of you that are worrying about being accepted. Jesus takes
mercy.
You anytime with his mercy.
You know, and if I could say this, Tony, and Padre, keeping mercy in mind, a real great way to immerse ourselves in it is at this particular time during the season of Advent, trying to keep focused on with the writing that I read just now with Our Lady's dream to St. Joseph, sharing it, is to help stay focused on Christ in Christmas. And tomorrow, you know, because it's the third Sunday of Advent, and it's jubilant, to say the least, and a great way to, musically speaking, is bringing all the faithful to come together. Adeste fideles. And if I may, I mentioned it earlier, you know, like the choir, my great choir, St. Raymond's, under Laura's direction, helped me out with this particular piece. So it's a great way to help mind ourselves of God's mercy. Adeste fideles. Be focused on Christ in Christmas.
O come all ye faithful.
O come all ye faithful.
Number one.
Numero uno.
Numero uno. How's in my Italiano?
Adeste fideles, lei triumphantes, venite, venite in Bethlehem. Natum didete, regem angelorum, venite adoremus, venite adoremus,
to God.
that was beautiful. Amen. Joni, amen. Who sings that song?
Paul Barino.
Oh, no wonder why he was dancing on the table.
Okay, so for those of you who are listening out there, at least you have a preview of what tomorrow night could sound like.
Oh, I can't.
Saint
you sang that song now?
St. Raymond's
Choir.
That was
beautiful. No wonder.
That was Laura, those high harmonies.
Oh, I could, he was dancing on the table. You should have seen it. Too bad you didn't have the camcat. He was dancing on the table. I was swinging my arms. It was gorgeous.
You have to get excited about
great
God,
job.
Right?
Sit down Christ, now, Christ,
okay.
Christ. Off the table.
All right, Joni, you're on.
All right.
Okay.
Joni's going to read a reflection, just a two-minute reflection on tomorrow's readings. I say this every week, but I'll say it again. It's given to us by a fan of our show who writes it and wants to be anonymous, and we love him very much and thank him for doing these reflections for us. Joni, you're on, baby.
Thank you.
That's my bride, by the way.
Spiritual reflection of the week. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" The crowds had heard that John's announcement of the coming of the Messiah, and they wanted to know what the Messiah's coming should find them doing. Maybe they were thinking about having to carry out some extraordinary ascetical practices like eating grasshoppers or wild honey, as John himself did. But how did John answer them? He suggests nothing extraordinary or weird. He suggests that we should be on our everyday behavior, and he tells them to be generous to the poor and to be honest. So what's so special about that answer? Well, it's the fact that those people, as well as us, get it so wrong when it comes to the practice of true religion that we see as extraordinary what should be ordinary. Honesty and sharing with the poor should be the norm for all of us, but it isn't. So we ask the question ourselves, what should we do with the world in the state that it is presently? We immediately think that God should be coming down from heaven and find us on our knees begging for help. But the fact is, God has already come to us, Jesus, and Jesus preaches virtue and love for the poor as the things that his followers should do. But we tend to have forgotten all of this. You know, it's just as if Jesus had never come in the first place. Amen.
Amen, and so beautifully read.
Beautiful.
Joni, you read it beautifully. You really did. And, you know, our five-year-old granddaughter, Caitlin, said last night.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi,
we know
Anthony.
You're listening. And she said last night, "Grandma, you read so elegantly."
No, she didn't.
Oh, did she say that?
No,
oh, I thought she did.
She said so fancy.
Oh, fancy. Okay. All right. So let's move on with the show. Joni, thank you so much. It was beautiful. I just want to do a sainted for the week. And, of course, today I selected a lady, Guadalupe, but most
Guadalupe,
Guadalupe. I'm from Brooklyn, Guadalupe. And of course, you can't talk about Our Lady of Guadalupe without talking about the saint, Saint John Juan Diego, who was selected by Our Lady of Guadalupe for her bring her message to the bishop. Guadalupe.
Good. Caught my eye.
So let's tell the story. The Blessed Virgin appeared on Saturday, December 9th, 1531, to a 55-year-old neophyte. Now, what's a neophyte? He's a beginner. He knows nothing. So if he's a beginner and he knows nothing, why did the Blessed Mother select him? And when she appeared to Saint Juan Diego, Juan asked her, "Why are you picking me? I'm a 55-year-old man. I'm a neophyte. I go to church every day. I'm walking 15 miles to go to Mass now." And she said to him, like she says to everyone, "I selected you out of everyone, and you will be my messenger." And she did the same thing in other apparitions. And she selected not the powerful, not the mighty, not the big shots, but she selected the lonely.
Simple.
The poor, simple people. So, you know, I feel good when I hear that because I think I got a shot. So anyway, so she did appear to Juan, and it's a long story, but I sort of like broke it down into
15 pages.
I have 15 pages, but I sort of broke it down into different categories. So the first time she said to Juan that she wanted a church built on the top of the hill, and that she should go to the bishop. Now, I'm not reading. I'm taking this from my memory. So he went to the bishop, and he says, you know, I had a vision of the Blessed Mother, and she wants a church built. And the bishop really took it very lightly and didn't say too much. But he did say to Juan, well, I'll consider it. And so Juan went back to the Blessed Mother and says, well, he's considering it. And the Blessed Mother says, again, go back and tell him that I want that church built on this top of this hill. And he went back, spoke to the bishop again, and the bishop said, would you please tell the Blessed Mother to send me a sign? And so he went back to the Blessed Mother and says, well, the Blessed Mother, the bishop wants a sign. He wants a sign from you. So, and this is all from my memory, by the way. And so she said to
She answered him, no problem.
She answered,
no,
no
just
problem.
Just kidding.
No problem. Go to this hill and pick the flowers off this hill. And he knew where this place was where he had to pick flowers. And she says, put them in your coat, so to speak, and bring those flowers to the bishop. And he will know what we're talking about. But Juan knew that those flowers only grew in Spain. And so he said, help me out.
Okay. The roses that bloomed on a mountain in midwinter, the bishop himself was from Spain.
And he knew.
And he knew that these roses do not bloom in Mexico.
Right.
But they only bloom in Spain. And,
right.
So that's when he saw that, it was not only roses blooming in December, but the roses that bloomed in his home country,
absolutely,
Spain. So that even added more
validity to what he had to do.
Amen.
But it goes deeper than that. When he, and so when
and it was the image of her
when
on
he
his
opened
cloak.
His when he opened his coat. Now we're abbreviating. We're taking very, you know, this is not the whole story. It's 10 pages of story here. But when he opened his coat to show the bishop, it was the image of the Blessed Mother.
Of a lady.
Of a lady, the Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you were the bishop, what would you do, Al?
I'd say, I believe.
Call
I
the
believe.
Construction company and get them down here right away. And
I
so,
believe I do.
So that's not, that's our ad libs. But in any event, so it was, so would be. But the long of the short of it was that the Lady of Guadalupe had 9 million conversions from this appearance in Mexico. 9 million, and we're so humble here. I'm happy with one a week. I kiss the floor if I know of one a week. 9 million conversions since 1500s. And so I'll close it now.
God,
but there's much more. With God, all things are possible. And with the Blessed Mother who's so loving. And you know what? She loves us just like Jesus does. We don't have to be big shots. We don't have to be celebrities. We don't have to be hey. All we have to do is be loving,
humble,
simple people.
Tony, if I may,
yes.
We hear these things and you say, well, how can I do anything to really live this? And the real simple answer to that is we don't realize how powerful we are when we pray. For those of us who hear this and we see there's so much disarray out there, there's so much unrestfulness, unpeacefulness in the world, in society, in our lives in general, and Our Lady throughout all of her apparitions, and I know Father Tino knows this very, very, very well, in the alleged apparitions in Medjugorje, this is going on over 34 years now, Our Lady just says, has one request. She says to pray, pray, pray. So for those of us who hear the message of what you just read about Guadalupe.
I didn't read it. It was from my brain.
I didn't read it.
Listen, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. I did it from my brain.
I stand corrected. Sorry, and you're right. But we hear that this message. So what do we do? Because so many times we feel so helpless. But if our Heavenly Mother is asking us, pray, 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 in her recent message to, I believe, to Maria, or Mariana, she said, peace in the world is in great danger. Stay close to my son and pray, pray, pray. Peace in the world is in great danger. Stay close to my son. So how do we stay close to him? We pray, pray, pray. And for those of us who are of Catholic faith, we have even a greater gift to actually have Jesus with us always in the Eucharist.
Beautiful, Al. Beautiful.
So all of these things are things we can do.
We're getting texts, by the way.
Amen.
We're getting texts about this show. I think they love the show. Father, any message you could give us from this great day in a Lady of Guadalupe celebration?
Tony, you really explained it very well about this beautiful apparition.
Oh, thank you,
Father. In 1531, Juan Diego would say, you know, the bishop really doesn't believe in me. Why don't you get somebody more important,
mm-hmm.
you know, more famous, you know, somebody famous. He said, Blessed Mother, you know, I want you to be my message.
I selected you.
It's important to realize that it's in humility. It's by being open to God that we can be messengers in the world of God's love. And as Our Lady continues to do that in her humility, and the message certainly has to do with the fact that Our Lady, she wanted to have a church there. And she explained to Juan Diego why, so that she could give all her love and compassion and help and protection as a merciful mother. So we are in the year of mercy right now. She said to Juan Diego, because I am your merciful mother, to show that love, that compassion to you and to all the inhabitants of the land who invoke and ask her assistance. Because Our Lady, she was listening to their lamentations, she could see their miseries, their afflictions, their sorrows. And so that's what Our Lady does, especially when we need the most, especially when we are going away from God, we're doing our own thing. But especially for those who suffer in any way, Our Lady comes. And that's what Our Lady does, continues to do through her apparitions. You mentioned about the roses, but the bishop, even before the apparitions took place, he secretly asked the Blessed Mother to send him Castilian roses, which are known in Mexico, as you mentioned, as a sign to confirm that his prayers were answered. And what prayers was the bishop doing to Our Lady? For peace. Because there was a possibility of an insurrection there in that area at that time when the Aztecs were there, and then you had the Spanish conquest, Hernando Cortes and all that. And so here, that was a sign for the bishop. I said, I listened to your prayers, and guess what? Our Lady came, and peace came to those people, to that area. And you mentioned there were 9 million people converted in 6 years. There were 6,000 baptisms every day.
Wow.
That's the peace that Jesus can bring us if we allow Jesus to certainly, if we allow, we open ourselves to the peace of the Lord through Our Lady. Our Lady then brings us the peace of Jesus. And what a time right now in Advent. You know, we are preparing for Christmas. We are preparing for Christmas, which is the Prince of Peace has come to us. That message continues even to our day.
Amen.
Howard, that's beautiful, Father. That was absolutely, absolutely beautiful. One more question, Father, if you don't mind. And I'd like to ask priests this question. When did you get the calling to become a priest? How did you get the calling? How did Jesus tell you he wanted you to be part of him?
Well,
if you don't mind me asking.
I never thought about becoming a priest. I was under shock. I was under shock.
Under shock.
That's
beautiful, Father.
I started the business administration. I was working in the city. I was on my way, but then all at once it was actually, as I was working in the city, that Our Lady, was Our Lady, through Our Lady, praying to Our Lady, that she kind of took me from the hair, you know, from the ears. And I started to pray, and there I felt that the Lord was calling me. I consecrated myself to Our Lady, and I felt that the Lord was calling me to the priesthood. And Medjugorje had some influence into this. Somebody spoke to me about the messages of Medjugorje, about biblical messages, prayer, the rosary, to pray the rosary every day, to go to confession, to receive Holy Communion, to go to Mass, to fast, things that we really have in the Bible. And so that's when I really felt a calling to be a priest, which, my family was surprised by it, because my one was, it's a calling that came when I was 26 years old.
Wow.
So I would imagine at 26, you are young, you got your dreams, and here all at once, you have God's intervention for something else.
Wow, that's beautiful, Father. So the calling was sort of unexpected?
Yes, unexpected.
So isn't Jesus and the Blessed Mother, don't they work in such beautiful ways? And when you least expect it, they're asking you to join them, to be with them, and be part of their lives. I think that's gorgeous. That's beautiful, Father. It really is. And so I think when we get the calling from Jesus or the Blessed Mother, I think we have to discern it like you did and respond. And Al, you got the calling. You got a calling. You're an evangelist through music, through speech. You're going around to parishes talking. What in the world? Wait a minute. You were a teacher, weren't you? What made you think that being a teacher, that you were going to be called to evangelize at all the parishes? What gave you that?
Actually, Father Tino hit the nail on the head. I was, all my life I've always been involved with church, but my first time experience in Medjugorje, the alleged apparitions, which was in August of 85, that's what evolved with this whole evangelization of ministering, to different people throughout the world.
I think it's beautiful.
When he says go forth and preach the good news, but that's where it actually was initiated. My first encounter with Medjugorje, I came back I truly, you did not know me at that time, but I came back feeling like John the Baptist.
You, you know what? I was just going to say that. I can't believe you said that.
Well, that's the way I felt.
I was just going to say to you, you remind me of John the Baptist. I was going to say it a second ago. Oh, my Lord.
So now
the
know,
Holy
now
Spirit. I don't know how to explain this.
Father Tito tried to say something. What do you say?
I'm sorry, Father Tito.
Now we know. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. But, you know.
No, but it's the truth. That's where it all began.
And I was just going to say, it's so amazing. Okay, we're getting.
Holy night.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. We're going to play. But, Father, can you do a quick prayer over our petitions and for our listeners and for us with the radio show? Just a quick prayer, and we'll go out with Holy Night, okay? Maybe you could play Holy Night low while Father's praying, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Father, would you please?
And I'll give also my blessing at the end of the prayer.
Thank you.
And so, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Our Lady to us, who brings us to Jesus. Help us to open our hearts to the gift of Christmas. We ask you, Lord, to bless all the petitions, all the people who are praying, whatever their petition is, Lord, answer their petitions according to your will, especially for the good of the soul. As we ask all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father. God bless you. We love you, Father.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Padre. Hope to see you soon, too. God bless you.
Thank you, Al. Thank you.
See you next week.
John the Baptist. I can't believe it. I can't. A second. I'm just going to say it.
It's amazing. You.
Yes.
Joni, you were great.
Super.
I got a text on you, by the way.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. Expressed in the following.